Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is August 26th.
No.
It's
yes.
Not?
It yes,
isn't?
It is.
Okay. And it's program 209. I was doing fine until you jumped in there, Lisa.
You're right.
I was on a roll.
You're right.
209 shows. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. How are you, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
Got your WGN shirt on.
I sure
nice.
Do.
Very, very nice. Shante Garth, our producer, in the booth. And we have some classic radio shows for you tonight, all the way until 2 a.m., and we have something really, I think, a lot of fun. Tonight we are going to have male detectives, and then tomorrow night we have female detectives. And Lisa wanted to do the male detectives first. I'm not sure why. Why did you want to
do that?
Well,
we always save the best for last.
I see. That's why.
Right.
All right, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series 9JKL about a recently divorced actor who moves into an apartment between his parents and his brother.
Okay.
Okay.
What do they win?
The best prize, it sounds delicious, a Lou Malnati's gift certificate
wow.
for $25.
Sounds great. All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played Alice.
How come you come into a place like this to eat?
All right. Who is that great actress? Do you remember her?
I used to watch the show religiously.
312-981-7200. Who is that? Win a pizza. We'll be right back.
This is show 209 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
How come you come into a place like this to eat?
Paula, is that you?
Yes, it is.
It's great to hear from you.
Yeah. And I have been waiting to call for a while, and I'm glad to talk to you, especially on a night with detectives. I love detectives.
Oh, good. We're so glad. You know what? We played those just for you, Paula. We knew this was your night.
Right.
Well, it's great to hear from you. It's always nice to hear your voice. Who is that female celebrity?
It's Linda Lavin.
Linda Lavin.
That show because it's got her and Elliot Gould.
Yeah, you've heard about it. And of course, I mean, who didn't love Alice? So we're primed and ready to watch 9JKL. I know you love pizza, Paula. That's a tongue twister for me. But you've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. It's home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Paula, thank you so much for calling. I love
thank
to hear
you.
From you.
Thank you. And I want to give a quick shout out to Shanta. She answered and she was so nice.
Oh, she is sweet.
Yeah, so I want you to know how nice she is.
Oh, thank you. We know, but it's nice to hear it anyways. Thank you. Thank you, Paula.
Thanks,
you're
Paula.
So nice. And stay healthy. Stay well.
Good night.
Good night.
Night. All right, we're going to listen to some classic radio. Dave Weiske from Cat's Pride is here. Are you going to be here tomorrow, too, I hope? All right, well, hang on a second. You going to be here tomorrow, Dave? Wait a second. Okay, there. Let's try
yes,
it again.
I will be here. Unfortunately, Dan is traveling.
Okay.
He's going to be heading to one of our customers early Monday, but absolutely. We're going to hang out tomorrow and
give away
a full year of cat litter.
Ah, that's awesome. So Dave is here with two of his friends from San Diego, Jim and Cheryl. It's so great to have you here with us. And do you like classic radio, you guys?
Who doesn't?
All right, you like the classic radio shows? In San Diego, they play them out there on KFMB, I think.
KFMB, everything's classic in
you
San
know,
Diego.
You know, you can listen to us, even in San Diego,
right
on the WGN
did
app.
Did you know that, Cheryl?
So,
did you know?
I did not know. WGNradio.com.
Yeah.
Listen live.
Every Sunday
definitely
night,
will.
Just for you guys.
All right,
there you go.
Make sure you listen.
I just want to mention one thing before we get back into start the show. We've got got our lady group of 35 listening.
All right.
And so we're going to give them a shout out. I know that, you know, they have a lot of things going on, but they make this their little
so
respite.
So, Dave, there's
each 35 weekend.
Girls listening, and I think we should deliver them a pizza, you and I.
What Absolutely. You,
we'll go there after the show and deliver them a pizza about 2:30
Thicker,
in the morning.
Thin crust. I'm all in.
I will drive you.
Yes. We could. Well, I'm going to need a designated driver for that,
there
I would think.
Go.
All right. Well, good to see you, Jim and Cheryl, and great to have you here in the studio with us. Dave, we'll see you tomorrow
Sounds
also,
great.
And we'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. But right now it is time for our first detective adventure, Boston Blackie. We love Boston Blackie. He was a fictional character created by Jack Boyle, and he really wasn't per se a detective. He was actually a criminal who went into jail and was rehabilitated and decided to use his knowledge of the underworld to help solve crimes. And so he sort of was an amateur detective. And it came to radio in 1944. Chester Morris played him in the movies. And then Dick Calmar played him on radio. Kent Taylor played the character on television. And Chester Morris did a bunch of Columbia Pictures. Turner airs them all the time. I tape them and watch them. They're great. Chester Morris as Boston Blackie. We have a radio broadcast for you now from October 1st, 1946. This is called The Undersea Murder. Here's Dick Calmar in part one of Boston Blackie.
Found it, Larry. Found it.
You're not kidding, Bill. Are you sure?
Positive. Don't get so excited. You stop pumping air to me down here.
Keep your helmet on. I'll keep pumping. You sure it's the sunken ship we're looking for?
We were looking for the Argus, weren't we?
Yeah, but make sure it has the gold in it before we get too excited.
Okay. Give me a little more line.
Yeah.
There's a big gap in her side I can look into and see right into the hold.
Okay, but be careful. Don't get caught in the current and lose your footing.
Just keep my lines tight, and I won't. Keep pumping air.
I'll pump you enough air for a month if you find that gold.
Just enough for now will do.
Well, Bill, what goes? You see anything yet?
See anything? I can see everything. Larry, there's more gold here than I thought was in the whole world.
You found it, huh?
I sure did, Larry. We're rich.
You mean I'm rich?
What are you talking about?
You'll know in a minute. Pull on your tow line.
Huh?
Pull on it, Bill.
Okay, but... Hey, Larry, it's loose.
Sure, I got it loose.
What's your idea? What?
And here goes your airline, too, Bill. I'm cutting that.
No, Larry, don't. No, no, you can't. You can't.
I can't, huh? I already have.
Oh, Larry, don't.
I'm pulling out of here, but fast. As soon as I cut this phone line.
Oh, Larry.
So long, Bill, old pal.
Larry.
And now, on to Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
I know just how you feel, Sarah. Your brother was a swell guy. And believe me, there was nothing I could do to save him.
I'm sure there wasn't, Larry.
Honest, there wasn't. I was pumping air to Bill when all of a sudden the phone went dead. Then I saw bubbles on the water, and when I pulled on the tow line, it was limp.
Something underwater must have cut the lines.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's what it was. Sarah, I want you to remember that Bill and I were partners. And Bill's death doesn't dissolve that partnership. You're in if I ever find that gold.
No, I wouldn't want it. It'd remind me too much of Bill. I think you'd better go now, Larry. I think I'd rather be alone right now.
Yeah, sure, sure. Anything you say. Well, so long, Sarah. And I'm sorry.
It's all right. Bye, Larry.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye, Larry. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, sure, sure, kid. So long.
What are you bawling about, sis?
Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Came in the back way so nobody would see me. Thanks for feeling so miserable when Larry told you I was dead. It's very complimentary.
Bill, it really is you. You're alive.
Yeah, sure am, sis. And it was some story Larry told you about how I died.
He thought you did die. What happened?
What happened? Larry tried to kill me, and I'm alive now only because I'm a smart diver. I'm going to be just as smart a killer.
Bill, don't talk like that.
Why not? As far as anybody knows, I'm dead. So I'm going to kill the guy who tried to kill me. I'm going to get away with it, too.
Yes?
Boston Blackie?
Yes, again.
May I come in?
Yes, with a capital, why not?
Thank you. Blackie, I...
Don't tell me. You're in trouble. Or you know someone who's in trouble, and you've come to me for help.
Yes, Blackie. It's my brother.
Well, what's he done? Swindled, embezzled, or murdered?
He hasn't done anything yet. But he's going to kill a man.
He is? When?
As soon as he finds him. And he's going to get away with it, too.
That's a popular misconception, Miss...
Bronson. Sarah Bronson. My brother's name is Bill.
Bill Bronson, the diver?
Yes.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Miss Bronson. Your brother died this morning. I heard it over the radio not an hour ago.
My brother's very much alive, Blackie. And it's because everyone thinks he's dead that he thinks he can get away with murder.
Well, I have a hunch he's right, up to a point. Who was he going to kill?
Larry Matthews, his partner. That wasn't an accident under the water this morning. Larry tried to kill Bill by cutting his lines.
Uh-huh. So Bill wants to stay dead and get his revenge. I think you'd better go to the police, Miss Bronson.
No, I don't dare.
Why not?
Bill's gone almost crazy after that experience this morning. He said he'd kill me if I went to the police. But he didn't say anything about going to you.
I see. Well, I'll see what I can do for you.
Whatever it is, you'll have to do it fast. Bill is...
Excuse me. Hello.
Hello, Blackie. This is Charlie Kingston.
Oh, hello, Charlie. I'll call you back
in
just a minute.
Oh, this is nothing serious, Blackie. I'm just keeping a promise I made to you.
What promise?
You know, about never jumping into a new business deal without telling you what I've done.
Well, tell me about this one some other time, Charlie, will you? I've got to keep a man named Larry Matthews from being killed.
Did you say Larry Matthews?
Yes.
He's going to be killed. Good heavens, no. I won't have anyone murdered in any of my offices.
What?
He's downtown in my manager's office right now, and they just closed a deal for $100,000.
What kind of a deal?
A salvage job. I bought half interest in $2 million worth of gold Matthews and Bronson, that dead diver, found. I saw the chart myself.
Look, Charlie, phone your manager and tell him to hold Matthews there. Bronson isn't dead. Matthews tried to kill him, and now the diver is out to kill Matthews.
What? Well, I don't understand.
Never mind what you don't understand. Phone your manager, tell him the whole story, and tell him to hold Matthews there. I'll get there myself as soon as I can.
So that's what the score is, Miss Matthews. We're... Oh, excuse me.
Sure, Mr. Walton.
Walton speaking.
Oh, Henry, this is Charlie Kingston.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kingston.
Look, is Larry Matthews there?
Yes, he is.
Good, keep him there. Don't let him leave your office under any circumstances.
What's the matter?
His life is in danger. Somebody's looking for him to kill him. Boston Blackie will be down there in a few minutes to take over. Now, wait for him.
All right, but I don't understand.
Now, don't try. Wait till Blackie comes and get that chart from Matthews. I want that chart.
Don't worry, Mr. Kingston. I'll get it for you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Anything wrong, Mr. Waltham? You look a little pale.
Nothing much is wrong, I hope, Mr. Matthews. That was my boss, Mr. Kingston. He wants me to keep you here in my office until Boston Blackie gets here.
Why?
Why? Because your life is in danger.
Huh?
Mr. Matthews, do you know of anyone who's trying to kill you?
No. No one in particular. But I'm not surprised my life's in danger. Yours would be, too, if you owned something as valuable as that chart of mine.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, we'll own it soon. Mr. Kingston asked me to be sure to get it from you.
Well, you've given me your check. Come on down to my house at the waterfront and I'll give you the chart.
Mr. Matthews, I can't let you leave this office. Mr. Kingston's orders.
Well, if you want that chart, you'll come and get it now. I want to close this deal and get rid of that chart.
Aren't you afraid to go out on the street?
I'll take my chances. I got a gun right here, see? Come on, I want to get this deal over with.
All right. I'm going with you. Just a minute.
Hey, what are you taking out of that drawer?
My gun, Mr. Matthews. If you're in danger, I'm in danger, too.
Here's my house. Wait till I unlock the door, Walton.
Sure. Well, so far, so good. We haven't seen anyone who even looked as if he wanted to kill you.
That doesn't make me a bit unhappy. Now, come on in. Oh, wait, I'll turn on the light. There. Now, come on in. I'll get you the chart.
Okay.
I never had enough money for a safe, so I always hid anything valuable under the floor.
I see.
This loose board here is my safety deposit vault. Here. Here's your chart right here. I'll see if they can get anything else now. Let's see how you turn out the light.
You dirty double-crosser, Waltham. You got me, but maybe one of my bullets got you, too.
Hi, Blackie.
Hello, Mary.
You know, I've been waiting in this office for you for 1 hour.
Well, I got here as quickly as I could, but I wasn't worried. I knew Matthews would be safe as long as you were here.
Well, I'm here, but Mr. Matthews isn't.
What?
I hope I won't have to tell you a dozen times. Mr. Matthews went out with Mr. Waltham.
But didn't Kingston phone here and tell...
Excuse me. Kingston Enterprises, good afternoon.
Well, this is Mr. Kingston. Let me speak to Mr. Waltham again, will you?
Mr. Waltham's out, Mr. Kingston.
Oh, I see. Oh, did he leave with Mr. Matthews and a Boston Blackie?
Boston Blackie? No, sir, I don't even know him.
I'm Boston Blackie. If that's Kingston, I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, Mr. Kingston, Blackie wants to talk to you.
Oh, by all means.
Here you are, Blackie.
Thanks. Hello, Charlie.
Blackie, what's the matter down there? Where's Waltham and Matthews?
Well, that's just what I want to ask you. Didn't you phone Waltham and tell him to keep Matthews here?
Yes, the minute I was through talking to you.
Well, what is he? He isn't here now.
What happened to you?
And I hate to think what's going to...
Well, wait a minute, Blackie. Here's Waltham now.
Good. Matthews with him?
No. Good heavens, Blackie. Waltham's wounded.
Badly?
Just a minute. Waltham, what happened to you? Here, sit down here.
I've been shot. I went with Matthews. I got shot.
Well, Charlie.
Look, sit down. Yes,
Charlie.
Yes.
If Waltham can talk, put him on the phone, will you?
All right. Just a minute. Can you talk, Waltham?
Yes, I think so.
Good. Here, I'll hold the phone for you. It's Boston Blackie. He wants to talk to you.
Waltham, can you hear me?
Yes, Blackie.
Where's Matthews?
Dead, I guess. I don't know. It happened too fast.
Who shot you?
I don't know. I couldn't see. It was too dark down there.
Down where?
Matthew's house. We went there to get the chart showing where the gold ship was located. We were in the house when the lights went out. There were shots from the darkness. Matthews fell. I was hit, but I got away.
Where's Matthew's house?
On Wharf Street.
Okay, I'll go down there and see what happened. Matthew still has the chart?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Well, maybe I can find it. Maybe I can find him. One thing I promise you, I'll find something.
Hey, Boston Blackie, he said he's going to find something, Lisa. You know he will. He does not say things idly. He's going to solve this crime, I guarantee you.
I have a feeling you're right about that.
Boston Blackie, it's part one, starring Dick Calmar. You know who he was married to? Roger would know
Dorothy
this.
Dorothy Kilgallen.
Dorothy Kilgallen, Roger. Did you know
I just
that?
Said that?
I did not know that.
Dick Calmar.
Or as you might hear on The Tonight Show, I did not
know
that.
I did not know that. I'm going to tell you something really interesting.
What?
So Dick Calmar was an actor, okay, on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and Dorothy Kilgallen, who was several years older
right.
than him, gave him a great review, was smitten with him,
oh.
right? Gave him a great review. And he was like, hey, you know, well, I mean, you know, she's a very successful mm-hmm. type of thing. Started dating her. They got married. And then they did a morning breakfast show in New York called Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick.
Oh,
this show was the number one radio show in New York City. It was the morning show. And WOR would bring in their engineers.
Sure.
They were sleeping. They had like a 26-room penthouse apartment on, you know, in the Great White Way.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in there about 4 in the morning, set up the microphones. They would get up in the morning, and they would have breakfast, and he'd smoke his cigarettes, and they'd have breakfast, and they'd just chat about nightlife in New York and going to, Cyrano's or whatever it was called.
Sure.
I can't remember
all the
now.
Big restaurants, you know, and going out to plays and stuff.
Exactly.
Sure.
And it was hobnobbing, exactly.
With the hoi polloi.
Exactly. And it was super, super, super popular. It was so popular, it was making them a fortune, okay, that when they didn't want to be married anymore, okay,
oops,
they kept that a secret. Because they couldn't give up this money.
They couldn't
give up the money. They were making a fortune. So they just, hi, sweetie pie. And then when the show was over, they went their separate ways every day.
Do you remember, I know we're on news here, but do you remember a PBS program called Remember When?
Yes, I do. It
and
was a great show.
One of the segments mm-hmm. that they did was a program exactly like that.
Really?
Do you remember that part? And they were actually, the couple doing the program
yeah.
were actually married in the show.
Yeah.
And they they hated each other, but they had to make
but it's
like
based
they were
on it was
along.
Based on
right,
these two.
It had to have been.
It was absolutely based on Dick Calmer and Dorothy Kilgallen.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David Jennings, and it is 11:36 on a Saturday night. We are here every Saturday and Sunday until 2 o'clock in the morning from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. with your favorite classic radio shows. This Saturday, it's all male detectives. And then tomorrow night, when we come back here at 11 p.m., we will have female detectives. And then I think next week we are going to do a little salute to Jerry Lewis. We lost Jerry Lewis last week. And in fact, I found a Martin and Lewis show. You're going to love this. A Martin and Lewis show with their special guest, Debbie Reynolds. Oh, so we can sort of do a
double memorial.
We can
there.
Do a double memorial, yeah. Okay. Because we didn't do anything for Debbie Reynolds when she passed. So we'll have a really interesting Martin and Lewis show next week.
Yeah, I think it's on Saturday.
To celebrate the life of Jerry Lewis. You know, a terrific guy, just a terrific talent, and we lost him. And he didn't do a lot of dramatic. I thought maybe I could find him on Suspense or something like that. He never did.
Radio?
He never did any of that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, once in a blue moon, he did a dramatic thing, but pretty much it was Martin and Lewis. I guess because he was busy doing movies with Dean. And
when they were together, they were doing either movies or the nightclub.
Well, they were doing
the variety show, the TV variety show.
They were at the Copacabana doing their nightclub. So, yeah, he didn't do a lot of radio other than the radio series of Martin Lewis. But we'll have a great half hour episode for you next week to celebrate his life. But right now it's time for the conclusion to Boston Blackie.
Well, I can say one thing for Wharf Street, Mary. It's not pretty, but the sea air is wonderful.
Smells fishy to me.
So does this little situation we're in.
Mm.
Well, the man at the fruit stand said this is Matthew's house, 219.
Hmm. I don't see any signs of excitement. Maybe Mr. Waltham dreamed up his story about being shot.
If he did, he dreamed up a bullet hole, too, Mary. And that's awfully realistic dreaming. Mm. Let's go in and see if we can find anything.
All right.
The lights are on inside. Let's have a look around.
Come out. We've searched downstairs. There's nothing here. What's with you?
Hey, Mary, that's Faraday.
Who is that? Keep looking, Rollins. I'll go out and see who it is. Blackie. You.
Yes, Inspector. Me.
And me, too.
Don't remind me. Blackie's bad enough.
Bad enough, Faraday. You mean good enough, don't you?
Good enough for what?
To tell you what happened here.
A guy named Larry Matthews was killed. That's what happened here. We found his body inside. I suppose you know who killed him.
Sorry to disappoint you, Faraday, but yes, I do know who killed Matthews. It was his ex-partner, Bill Bronson, the diver. Ho-hum. Want to hear more?
Keep talking. You don't know how stupid you sound. Listen, Bill Bronson's sister came to see you today, didn't she?
Yes.
And you told her to come to see me, didn't you?
Yes, but she wouldn't do it.
Well, she changed her mind. Women do that, you know.
So?
So, Blackie, you think Bill Bronson killed Matthews, huh?
I know he did. How do you like that?
Well, an hour before Matthews was killed down here, a cop arrested Bill Bronson uptown, and he's been in jail since. How do you like that?
When Bill Bronson, diver, found a sunken ship with its long-lost cargo of gold, his partner, Larry Matthews, cut his air hose and lines and left him for dead. But Bronson miraculously lived and swore vengeance on Matthews. The diver's sister, knowing of her brother's plan, came to Blackie for help. But before Blackie could get to Matthews, someone else got to him with a gun. And it wasn't Bronson, because Bronson was in jail. As we return to our story, Henry Waltham, who was with Matthews when he was shot, is having a bullet wound dressed by a doctor.
Still hurt, son?
Yes, it does, Doctor.
You're lucky you're still alive. That bullet just missed puncturing your lung.
Yeah.
Yep. You have to take it easy for a while. Yeah. That dressing will do for now.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
Well, let's see how you respond to treatment before you thank me. Here we are. What's your name, son?
You have to know that?
Yep.
Okay. It's Waltham. Henry Waltham.
Henry Waltham. Mm-hmm. And how did you get that bullet in you?
I told you when I came in. It was an accident.
I know. Now suppose you tell me the truth.
Look, what's it to you how I got shot? You're a doctor, not a policeman.
I know, but I have to report this to the police.
You've got to report it. Oh, no.
But it's the law. I'd lose my right to practice if I didn't.
Well, you're going to lose a patient if you do.
Lie down, son. You're still too weak to
get... I'm not too weak to get out of here.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Here's something. Steady your feet.
Come back here, you. Come back.
Oh, no.
Operator, get me the police.
Wonder when that diver's going to signal us, Blackie. He's been down there long enough to have found $10 million in gold.
Well, I wish he'd find Waltham while he's at it, Charlie.
Blackie, do you think Mr. Waltham killed Mr. Matthews?
I don't know, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Kingston! Mr. Kingston!
Yes, Captain Arnold.
The diver's found something down there, Mr. Kingston. Let's talk to you.
Well, thank you, Captain Arnold.
All right.
A couple of extra earphones, Blackie. You and Mary might like to listen in.
Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, I'd love to. Just wait till I get mine on. Okay.
This'll be a great moment if he's found that gold. Hello down there. This is Charlie Kingston.
Sorry, Mr. Kingston. No luck here either.
But Captain Arnold said you'd found something.
Yes, but not a ship full of gold. Just the end of the sandbar. The drop off so deep, my light won't hit the bottom of it.
Well, I guess we're in the wrong place again.
I'm afraid we are, Mr. Kingston. I wish you'd had a better look at that chart. I can't make many more dives today.
I realize that. Well, come up and try just once more, will you?
Sure. Once more.
Oh, Captain Arnold.
Yes, Mr. Kingston.
Have your men bring the diver up. We still haven't found the right place.
Yes, sir. All right, men. Let's bring the diver topside. If the only thing's down there worth bringing up. Come
on. I'm afraid you'll have to wait until you get that chart and find your gold, Charlie.
But I may never get it, Blackie. Remember, I only had a quick look at the chart.
Oh, look, they're cranking the thing that brings the diver up. I'm going over there and watch him come out of the water.
Well, don't try to help anyone, Mary, or they may have to pull you out of the water, too.
Okay, I'll be careful.
I think we'll try looking for the gold over there a few hundred yards.
You're just wasting your time looking for it without that chart, Charlie. And I'm wasting my time out here, too. I ought to be looking for Waltham.
You think he killed Matthews, do you?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'd hate to think that Waltham killed Matthews. You know, he said a third person entered the room just as the shooting started.
I don't believe that story completely. That's why I want to find Waltham.
All right, men. The diver's brought to the surface. Pull him aboard. Come on, you better step aside, lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Better come over here by us, Mary.
Oh, shucks. I wanted to watch him take the diver's helmet off.
He's going to go down again in another spot, Mary. Maybe you can watch then.
Well, you can see him from right here now, Mary.
Well, it isn't as good as being close, but... Oh, look, look. He's up on deck now. He looks like the man from Mars, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right, men. Stop the pumps. We've got his helmet off.
Well, Mary, you saw them take the helmet off.
Blackie, look. Look, there's an awfully big launch, and it's heading right toward us.
Good night. The fool doesn't see us.
I'll start our engines in time to get out of his way. Captain Arnold! Captain Arnold!
Hey. I see him, Mr. Kingston. He's going to crash into us.
Hold on to me, Mary.
Back! Blow the whistle! Tug! Grab that funnel and bring it to the bridge!
What do we do?
Yell, everybody! Get to that tank and swerve off!
Yes, but he's not right here. Come here, Mary. Stay close to me.
All right, I will.
Is everybody all right?
Well, I'm all wet.
I think I'm all right. You all right, Blackie?
Yes, I'm okay, but look, we're 5 or 6 miles from shore. I don't like this. See if anybody can grab a plank or something from the boat.
Good idea. All your men all right, Arnold?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Kingston. And here comes a launch. It looks like a police boat, too.
See, it is a boat.
Hello there. Hello.
Save your breath, Charlie. They see us.
Oh, thank goodness.
They're swinging around to pick us up.
Here they are.
Here come the lifelines. They're ready to grab them.
Okay.
That's it.
Here, Mary. You take this one.
Oh, thanks.
Well, look who's playing porpoise. If it isn't Boston Blackie.
Faraday.
Haul him in, boys. All but that good-looking one there. He looks undersized to me.
Oh, call me up, Faraday, or I'll haul you in here with me.
What? When you know I can't swim?
That's why I'd like to have you in here.
Here, Blackie. I'm aboard now. Take this rope of mine.
Thanks, Charlie.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Come on. Up you go. Come on. There you are. There.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Charlie. You all right, Mary?
Oh, sure. Just dripping a little, that's all.
Well, there's some blankets in the cabin there, Miss Wesley. Better get into one right away.
All right, I guess I better, thanks.
I don't know what brought you out here, Faraday, but I'm glad something did.
When I came out here just in time to see that guy Waltham ram your boat.
Well, how did you know it was Waltham, Faraday?
Well, because a doctor reported treating his wound and told how Waltham slugged him and skipped out. Then the next report I got on Waltham was that he was seen getting into a powerboat in the harbor.
Oh, Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Rollins, what is it?
Just got a radio message from shore, Inspector.
Yeah, so what?
So we don't have to look for Waltham anymore. He walked into the 18th Precinct Station and gave himself up.
So you think Waltham rammed us, Inspector?
Okay, I was wrong. I suppose you know who rammed you.
I have a rough idea, and I think if I see Bill Bronson, I can smooth it out.
Bill Bronson? What could he have to do with this? He's still in jail.
Good. Let's go down and see him before he's released.
What makes you think he's going to be released?
You're going to release him. He still doesn't know that his ex-partner Matthews is dead, and Faraday, before you let him out of jail, I'm going to let you in. I have some bad news for you, Bronson.
I'm in jail, Blackie, and you say you have some bad news for me. That's funny.
Yeah, but this isn't, Bronson.
Hey, Faraday. You and Blackie got awful long faces. What's the matter?
Your sister's dead, Bronson.
Huh? Sarah's dead?
Yes. Killed by the man who tried to kill you.
Why, that dirty Matthews out...
Wait a minute. That won't do any good, Bronson. All we want you to do is give us all the information you can. We found your sister's bodies in Matthew's house. Do you know any reason why she would be down there?
Yeah. Yeah, I know a reason, Blackie. Guess I'm it.
What do you mean, you're it?
Well, what am I in jail for? Because I said I was going out to kill Matthews for trying to kill me. Well, I guess sis went down there to kill him just to keep me from doing it.
Only Matthew shot first.
And
that's enough of that, Bronson. Now, look, your sister's dead just because you wanted to take the law into your own hands. Now, if you've learned your lesson, I'll let you go free.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson, Inspector.
All right. Go home and be a good boy, because I don't want to have to teach it to you again.
Who's that?
It's me, Sarah. What's the idea? Bill, they let you out.
Sarah, they told me you were dead.
What?
Yeah. Said Matthews killed you. I told him you went down there to kill him for me.
You idiot, you stupid...
Now, look, you don't have to get sore. I had no way of knowing that.
I didn't have to get sore. I ought to kill you for what you've done to me.
What have I done?
What have you done? Because of you stupid fool, the police are going to be after me for murder. And why did I kill Matthews? For you.
You did not. It was your idea to kill him for the money and the charge.
All right, it was my idea. And it was also my idea not to get caught.
But you aren't caught yet, and I was tricked into saying that...
Sane enough to send me to the electric chair. And everything was perfect, absolutely perfect, till you had opened your stupid mouth.
Now, look, don't blame me all for this. Your plan wasn't perfect.
Oh, wasn't it? Who'd ever guess I killed Matthews? Didn't I go to Blackie and warn him that you were going to kill Matthews? Didn't I go to the police and have them arrest you to keep Matthews alive?
I know all that.
You know all that. Well, I know a lot more. After I took Matthews' chart, I risked my neck to keep Charlie Kingston from finding that gold. I rented a launch and rammed his boat. I did all that for us. And what did you do for me? Fall for a stupid trick?
Now, look, I'll go back to the police and tell them I was lying about you wanting to kill Matthews.
Why don't you tell us now, Bronson? We're right here. Come on in, Blackie.
Police.
Stand where you are, Bronson. Rollins, go revive Miss Bronson. She's fainted.
Yes, sir.
Well, Faraday, happy now?
Yeah, I'm happy, Blackie. I've got my killers.
Sure you have. I made sure you would. Well, Inspector, you might as well take Bill Bronson downtown. He's so used to being underwater. Let's see if he's getting used to being under arrest.
Hey,
Hello down there. Any luck, diver?
I'm coming to the hull of a ship now, Mr. Kingston. I'll let you know in a minute.
Good, good. Well, we'll know in a minute, Blackie, if Inspector Faraday got the right chart from Miss Bronson.
Right. Waltham feeling okay, Charlie?
Yes, fine. But he feels like a fool for losing his head and running out on that doctor. He doesn't know what made him do it.
Oh, I suppose he was afraid the police wouldn't believe his story about how Matthews was shot.
Hello there, Mr. Kingston.
Oh, it's the diver. Yes, diver?
I found it, Mr. Kingston. There's plenty of it.
Oh, you found the gold?
You bet I have. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Blackie, Mary, he found the gold.
Wonderful.
Well, that's fine, John.
Well, aren't you excited? It's $2 million in gold. I'm a rich man.
You've been a rich man for years, Charlie. Just how rich can you get? After all, what difference does $2 million make to a man who already has 20 or 30?
Do you know something, Blackie?
What is it, Charlie?
I never thought of that.
That's Boston Blackie, broadcast from October 1st, 1946, The Undersea Murder, starring Dick Calmar. In that cast, we heard Leslie Woods as Mary Wesley and Maurice Tarplin as Inspector Faraday. Hope you enjoyed Boston Blackie, the first of three male detectives that we will broadcast for you here until 2 a.m. tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow we will have female detectives. Yes?
I was going to say, we have not reminded everyone. We have a Facebook page. We have a text-in line. So we just want to make sure to communicate with everybody throughout the night. Make sure to go to WGN Radio Theater on Facebook. Like us if you haven't. Post to us. We'd love to hear from you. And the same thing on the WGN text-in line, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, text us. And if you have any questions for us, any comments about the show, we love getting texts from you out there, 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf, my co-host to my right. Shante Garth is in the booth. And tomorrow, Lisa, we will be giving away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So, folks, if you don't have your picture in of your kitty cat, you still have time to do it, right, Lisa?
Yep, you've got until about 11 o'clock tonight. Send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Make sure to include your name, your cat's name, your city and state. It's that simple, and you could be a winner.
Yeah, you could win, I mean, a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. They're our sponsor from day one right here on WGN. They're very loyal to us. We are loyal to them. And you know what, folks? If you have a kitty cat and you are not using Cat's Pride kitty litter, I urge you to please switch, because not only will your cat be happier about it, it's a better product, and you'll be supporting the sponsor that brings you these classic radio shows. Right, Lisa?
Yep. And if you don't have a cat, you probably know someone who does. Tell them about our promotion, catspridephoto@gmail.com.
All right. In our next hour, we're going to tune in to Lisa's great uncle, right? Nero Wolf.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only my great great uncle.
But he has an E at the end. What happened?
Yeah, we kind
Ellis
of
Island?
We dropped that.
At Ellis?
It must have been around there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So a good Nero Wolf adventure in our next hour. Then after that, it's Casey Crime Photographer. So much more classic radio detectives coming your way, in fact, till 2 o'clock in the morning on the greatest radio station in the world, WGN.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 8 minutes after midnight. Thank you, David. And this is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And for the last, I don't know how many years, Lisa, we've been doing this show. And you are my co-host, and I am your co-host.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got it now.
Right. And it's been a blast. It goes fast, though, because during the week, it seems like there's like maybe 2 days.
And we're back.
And then we're back here.
Yeah. I feel like we're always here. I don't know how that works. But
we're here
not.
Saturday and Sundays. And the other 5 days, I guess because we're preparing for the show and you've got like 14 or 15 kids, right?
It must be
How many kids do you have? 16?
We have 2 hours into Monday.
Yeah, that's true. She has like a bunch of kids. She does.
I don't know. I can't keep track of them.
She's an actress. She's a psychiatrist for me.
Well, that's for sure.
She's
a big job.
A wife. and then she sees plays all week long.
That's true.
How do you fit all that in?
Yeah, it's really a tough
then
world.
And she does a radio show. Then she has the national show that we do together.
Yeah.
Have a very busy schedule.
Yeah,
Lisa.
But my favorite place to be is right where I am right now.
I know. And then you have this new radio show that you might be doing, Listen to Lisa.
Yeah, very much.
You know, if we can find a 10-watt college station to pick it up, you'd be launched.
You know, you really need to set your sights higher.
No, that's how I started. 10-watt.
I don't care.
10-watt WRRG Triton College Radio.
It all started on a 5,000-watt radio station in Fresno, California.
Yes, well, I wish. Mine was 10 watts. It barely got off the campus. Triton College Radio, 1981. And that's where Wendy started, too.
Yeah,
Wendy and I started at the same radio station together.
Yeah.
Only she's Wendy Snyder, and I'm Carl Amari.
I wouldn't.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I don't. What are you saying?
I don't know. But in this hour, we have the adventures of your great-granduncle, Nero Wolfe from 1951, starring Sidney Greenstreet. And then in our third hour, it's Casey Crime Photographer. It's male detectives on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. And then tonight when we come back here at 11 p.m., female detectives.
Yeah, you got it.
They smell nicer than the male detectives.
How do you know?
Well, I'm just guessing.
It's just probably, in your imagination.
Females smell nicer than males, in my
opinion.
So we have that to look for. But on radio, it doesn't really matter.
And that's our imagination at work.
It's your theater of the mind. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming TV series L.A. to Vegas about an airline crew and eccentric passengers who every weekend take the round-trip flight to come back a winner.
Okay.
And the winner of this contest gets a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25.
All right, a pizza. Sounds good. All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of American Horror Story Season 1.
Isn't this place amazing?
All right, who is that great actor? That's all you get. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play it one more time.
Isn't this place amazing?
Hey, John, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you.
So who is that actor?
Well, that's Dylan McDermott.
You are absolutely right. Dylan McDermott is the correct
answer.
That's
a tongue twister there. Dylan McDermott.
Is it?
Yes.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Say it three times.
I can't.
I know. John, you're a winner. You have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, which sounds absolutely delicious. Lou Malnati, doesn't it? Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right, John's a big winner. Good night, John. He's a big winner. He's going to eat some pizza.
Good morning.
Maybe he'll invite us over. If he orders spinach, I'm there.
Yeah,
I like spinach.
He's gone, but he's still listening.
He can invite us over. We'll have some spinach with him for sure.
That would be great.
You like the spinach, right, Lisa?
I only eat vegetables, so any vegetable except mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms.
Why? Aren't you a fungi?
I'm not. I set you up. I shouldn't have done that. I don't like mushrooms.
Yeah. All right. Do you like Nero Wolfe?
You know. Well, yeah, he's my relative, so it's all in the family.
So Nero Wolfe was a detective that was played by Sidney Greenstreet on the radio. He was a character created by Rex Stout, and it first aired in 1943. And Nero Wolfe solved crimes with an attention to detail that rivaled the great Sherlock Holmes. Wolfe refused to leave his elegant brownstone. For business, though, he would send his assistant, Archie Goodwin, out to do his legwork, like you do. You send me here and send me that. She sends me to Nordstrom, pick up this, pick up that, get my dry cleaning.
I wish. My dry cleaning at Nordstrom?
Yeah, well, go pick up some chicken pot pies for me, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Get me a water at Argo Tea. That's what Lisa does to me.
Yeah.
Wolfe and Goodwin were resurrected in a 1945 mutual offering starring Francis X. Bushman and Elliot Lewis. So Sidney Greenstreet was not the only person who played him on the radio, but I think he's sort of the best remembered And there's a great picture of him up on our Facebook page. And there was a great picture of Dick Kalmar also. And then a little later, we'll have a picture of Stotts Cotsworth as Casey crime photographer. So check out the pictures.
Are you going to tell us our fact about Sidney Greenstreet?
Yeah, that's right. A fun fact. We had a fun fact on the WGN Facebook.
Oh, it's on ours as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, Sidney Greenstreet
was nominated for an Oscar for his film debut.
Right. And I think he was 61 or 62 years old.
Yep.
And he played Casper Gutman in The Maltese Falcon. He was the bad guy in that, opposite Humphrey Bogart. But can you imagine, it's his first screen performance, and he's nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He did not win, but he was nominated. So, all right, we have an episode now of Nero Wolfe called The Killer Cards. Let's go back to January 12, 1951. Here's Sidney Greenstreet in part one of The Adventures of Nero Wolfe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. You want Mr. Wolfe to what?
Mr. Wolfe will do nothing of the sort, Archie. Mr. Wolfe is thirsty.
Hold on for a moment. The bottle opener is in the left-hand drawer of your desk.
Thank you, Archie.
Mr. Wolfe, I've got a man named Denby on the phone. He wants you to umpire a card game.
The man is insane.
He's offering a fee.
The answer is no. I know nothing of card games, nor do I wish to learn.
Okay. Well, the answer's no, Mr. Denby. Sure, I'll ask him again. After he finishes the beer he's working on. Goodbye.
People appall me. The fantasies they indulge in. Bah, what on earth made that maniac think I might consent to preside at a card game?
Well, it seems he expects one of the players to be death. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Mr. Wolfe would not attend, but the card game went on anyway at the home of a Mr. Stephen Denby.
Well,
Gene?
Yes?
The custom? Mr. Piper? Hmm? I think we're ready to begin, eh?
I'm ready.
Yes, Jean, you always are.
How I like that remark, I'll have to decide later on.
Yeah, please do. Augusto?
It's all right with me.
And Mr. Piper?
I brought a deck.
No, as host, I shall supply the cards.
Before we play, I examine them, yes?
Of course. Here you are. Chuck?
Yeah, Mr. Denby?
You will remain outside the door until called. No one is to enter this room under any circumstances.
Got it.
Lucasta?
The cards look all right.
Thank you. Now then, shall we make things absolutely clear?
You mean, should you make a speech? I don't mind.
But make it short, huh?
I shall. The four of us seated at this table are joint owners of the Candy Club, a rather successful institution devoted to the sale of food, liquor, entertainment,
and the gambling.
And games of chance. For some time now, we have all resented sharing the profits. Some of us have attempted to buy out the others.
Denby, you needn't babble on. No one wants to sell. We know that.
True, true, Mr. Piper. Which is the reason for this little game of cards. One hand shall be dealt to each of us. A hand at poker. Whoever wins, gets the club. The others retire as gracefully as they can. Agreed?
That's why we...
Agreed.
Very well. The cards are shuffled. I'll place them in the center of the table. Lucasto, would you like
to... I cut.
Good.
If nobody minds, I'll cut them too. After Mr. Lucasto.
Nobody minds. Happy now, Mr. Piper?
Let's get going, huh?
Very well. Unless Jean would care to...
Oh, thanks. We're all crooks here, which sort of cancels out any funny business with a card.
Very well. We shall all draw a card in turn until five cards are drawn by each player. Shall we start, Jean?
Sure.
Lucasto?
Okay.
Mr. Piper?
Yes, of course.
And myself. We just keep going in rotation.
This is fun.
Fun? No, no. There's too much money which rides on these cards.
That's what makes it fun.
Would you mind keeping quiet? I'm nervous.
We all are, one way or another. I think we all have our five cards now.
We all got them.
Very well, then. In the same order that the cards were dealt. Jean?
A pair of threes.
Lucasto?
Nothing.
Mr. Piper?
Kings. Two.
The lights!
Piper. Well, what?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da. Hey. Hey, I don't like to seem stuffy, mister, but will you take your elbow out of my back?
I'd be delighted to, Mr. Goodwin, but it's not my elbow.
I don't care if it's your tibia maximus. Just take it away.
Chuck wouldn't like that.
Well, we have company. Mind if I look around?
Keep right on walking, pal.
Well, that would be Chuck behind me, huh? And you are...
My name is Denby. You may remember it.
Oh, yeah. You phoned a couple of hours ago about a card game. Now, look, just what is your boy poking in my back?
I think it's a 38.
You're not sure?
It might be a 45.
Chuck, is it loaded?
Make a funny move, pal, and you'll find out the hard way.
Yo, wait a minute. It's just a passing curiosity. Where are we going?
My car. Get in.
If you insist, I guess you do. Okay.
I'll drive, Chuck.
Bulletproof?
No, that's hardly necessary. Chuck shoots first.
Well, it's a saving, I guess. The only thing is, I hadn't figured on taking a ride. I told Mr. Wolf I was going for a walk. He disapproved.
You're
but...
going for a ride.
Isn't that a little corny?
Now, there's a minor difference. Usually the guest, shall we say, is killed at the conclusion of the ride. In this
Let's
case...
Let's not make the difference too minor. Huh?
You will survive the ride. It's what comes afterwards that might kill you. You see, Mr. Goodwin, my friends and I have a little mystery to solve.
You want me to solve it?
No. We want Mr. Wolf to solve it. In order to do so, he must leave his house and come to mine. He has to in order to find the solution quickly.
Why?
Neither my friends nor myself have any desire to improve our acquaintance with the police. Therefore, we want the mystery solved before the police are even called in. Hence our need for Mr. Wolf. Hence our detaining you.
Detaining is a pretty word in the circumstances.
Now, this is my home, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, well, I don't like the architecture. I think I'll stay out.
Get going, pal.
On second thought, Mr. Denby, what makes you think Mr. Wolf is going to leave his house and come here?
You. Unless he does so, he will lose you. Forever. The door, Chuck.
Okay.
Mr. Goodwin, may I introduce you to my associates in business and in poker? To your right, Mr. Lucasto, a charming but impulsive fellow.
Hello.
He's only the stooge. Where's the fat fellow?
In time, Lucasto. The lovely lady whose back is to you is Jean. Jean something or other. She's always changing her name.
Hello.
Hello.
And the gentleman facing you is Mr. Piper.
How do you do? Is he exclusive or just... Hey, he's wearing his red carnation a little low, isn't he? Over his heart. Except that's no carnation.
That, Mr. Goodwin, is blood. Lifeblood.
Harjee! Oh, pal, he's always taking walks. Come in, the door is unlocked.
Are you... Yeah, you're Wolf.
Having made a magnificent discovery, suppose you remove your hat?
No, come on.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Denby wants to see you.
Mr. Denby can see me here.
Here ain't where he wants to see you.
Here, at the risk of minor monotony, is where he'll have to see me.
Don't you want your boy Goodwin to keep on living?
No one has ever been able to discourage him.
Mr. Denby will.
Ah, Archie's in custody?
No, in Mr. Denby's house under a gun.
I don't have to believe that.
Take a look at this.
A wallet. Archie's wallet. I shall accompany you. And permit me to warn you that if Mr. Goodwin has been harmed, nothing short of murder will satisfy me.
It's getting late. Wolf isn't here yet. Maybe he doesn't worry about you, Goodwin.
Well, he could have been delayed. Maybe an orchid needed a pollen transfusion or something. Besides, only the good die young.
Then you must be very, very good, Archie.
That remark I didn't care for.
We sit here and wait for the fat one, but in the meanwhile, the police...
The police will come when we notify them.
But they will not like the delay we make to notify them. I say we waste time. I say the fat one will not risk coming.
You say entirely too much.
Is that so? Maybe I kill you myself.
Picasso, put that gun away.
Yes, darling, Archie should have a chance to live. Not long if Wolf doesn't come.
Stop looking so pleased.
Are you afraid to die, Archie?
Yeah, well, I'm not looking forward to it. It's so final. Besides, I didn't eat a hearty dinner and a... Oh, the Marines have landed.
Who is it?
Chuck, with Nero Wolf.
Let him in. Shut the door, Chuck. Stay outside.
Archie?
Hello, Mr. Wolf. Oh, am I glad to see you.
I regret I cannot say the same thing. Last year, why couldn't you stay at home instead of taking those confounded walks? I warned you it'd be dangerous.
Yeah, but Mr. Wolf, it wasn't the fresh air that got me. It was Denby.
Mr. Wolf, I knew you wouldn't come here without some sort of pressure. I thought the method I used would be most effective.
Would you really have killed Archie if I hadn't come?
I would have had no choice. I would have been stuck with a witness to an unsolved murder.
Suppose I cannot solve it.
I should be forced to apply the same logic to two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wolf, you really came here to save my life, huh?
Nonsense. I came here for a fee, Mr. Denby.
I have a check for $1,000 already made out.
Clear it up. You forget. I left my home. I traveled unprotected through the streets of this city, exposed to motor accidents, to fresh air, too. You offer me $1,000.
Will $2,500 do?
Barely. Archie, will you take the check? Now... I presume you want me to find who killed the gentleman at the table, the one facing me, huh?
His name is Mr. Piper.
The name is no importance. Will you all sit at the table in the same position you were at the time of the shooting?
Of course. Jean, Augusto.
Good. Now for a look at the wound. The lights, I should imagine, went out for a while when the shooting occurred.
They went out?
Yes. Of the three of you at the table, which one had the best motive for the murder?
We all have the same motive. The club.
Helpful. There was no one else in the room at the time?
No one.
The door?
Locked, with Chuck on guard outside of it.
So much for that. The windows, I notice, are closed. They were closed when the murder took place?
They were closed.
The window panes are all unbroken, which eliminates the possibility of the shot being fired from outside of them, unless one of them was raised and lowered.
That wouldn't have been possible. The windows are secured by catches.
Archie, will you check that?
Okay, Mr. Wolf.
I shall for the moment assume that the windows are neither lying nor untrustworthy. Does anyone remember anything unusual occurring at the time of the shooting?
Well, someone whispered Piper just before the shot.
Indeed. You all heard that whisper?
We heard it.
Man's voice or woman?
Well, I can't say. A whisper doesn't reveal much of anything.
The windows weren't open, Mr. Wolf.
Which leads to...
The fact that it had to be one of us in this room. But which one, Mr. Wolf?
The murder weapon. Yes. Has it been moved?
Nobody touched it. It's laying on the floor where it was dropped.
Interesting. If you look closely, you would observe two oil spots staining the rug between the revolver and the lady's chair, indicating who sat at the right of Mr. Piper?
I did. Why?
Mr. Denby.
Yes?
If I were you, I would turn Mr. LeCastro over to the police.
You are a liar.
I warned you about that gun, LeCastro.
All right, that's the first boy on the gunshot. No music there, Lisa. Mike likes to break on either gunshots or door slams or
It was a little,
not sure why
it was
he doesn't,
a little abrupt.
I don't know why he doesn't want to break on music.
Well, we'll play some music.
All right, so that's
I wanted Carl to sing.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. We'll do the music.
Yeah, can you make the voice of like an organ?
You ought to be in pictures.
Organ.
You're the picture of health. How's that?
Look
good
at
enough?
Hey, he's not bad. He can, give him a paper bag. He can hold a note.
All right, that's the first portion of the killer cards on Nero Wolfe. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
All right, there's Bill Curtis, who you had a nice meeting with. Not too long ago.
Yeah, we had a nice little chat. We talked
you
only
were at a
about
play?
We talked only about you.
Right. You were at a play when you saw Mr. Curtis?
I was.
Call him Mr. Curtis. I don't
Well, we're on a first name basis.
I don't
now.
Have the luxury of calling him Bill yet. I would love to meet him someday.
Well, I'll see what I can do for you.
All right, thank you. all right, we're listening to The Adventures of Nero Wolfe from January 12, 1951. Let's get back to the case of the killer cards.
Was it necessary to shoot Mr. LeCastro?
In the arm, yes. He was reaching for a gun. He'll live, however, till the police take him away. What do I tell them?
You could point out the angle of the wound. As you notice, Mr. Denby, the bullet entered Mr. Piper's heart from the right.
Yes, so it did. Therefore, whoever sat to his right, well, that was LeCastro.
Archie, you have the check?
I have it.
We may as well leave.
Mr. Wolfe, you're sure LeCastro shot Piper?
I have indicated the evidence. The rest will be up to the jury. Come, Archie.
Jean.
Yes, Archie.
Now that my life expectancy has increased, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Archie?
I got a scram.
Lancaster 7583.
I'll be ringing your bell. Oh, Mr. Denby, you better do something about LeCastro's arm or he won't live to be executed. You see, the executioner likes them warm before he chills them. The old homestead looks very nice, Mr. Wolfe.
Yes, Archie. You should stay in it more often.
Yeah, but you never get to meet babes like Jean that way.
You never get kidnapped, either. Nor would I have had to leave my home in order to rescue you.
Yeah, well, you earned a nice fee, fast.
Indeed?
You seem doubtful about it.
Positive, Archie. I know. I have not as yet earned my fee.
Huh? You mean Denby might not turn LeCastro over to the cops?
Of course he will. The trouble is, you see, LeCastro did not murder Piper.
No? He just thought a bullet in the heart might be good for Piper's rheumatism, huh?
As it happens, Piper suffered from asthma. That's beside the point.
Fine. Mr. Wolfe, I'm going to take it for granted that you know who did kill Piper. I'm also going to take it for granted that you won't tell me until you're ready. But why turn LeCastro over to the police?
Two reasons, Archie. First, I had no proof against the real killer. Secondly, we had to supply a scapegoat in order to be permitted to leave the Danby home. You were unarmed, helpless.
Go ahead, rub it in.
Nonsense. It was an interesting problem. I enjoyed it.
It was, huh? Well, to me, it's still in the present tenses. Which reminds me, as old Dr. Titmouse said, there's always a future tense. And in that future tense, Jean.
No, Archie.
Oh, Mr. Wolfe, stop. That girl's got a love for blood that appeals to the ghoul in me. Besides, did you notice what she does to a dress?
Archie, I was merely about to say that I have no objections to your dallying with the girl.
Oh, I don't believe it. My ears need overhauling.
I objected only to the future tense. Why not call her now?
Yeah, well, I won't pretend I understand this sudden enthusiasm on your part about my love life. Probably there's some foul, scheming motive at the bottom of it. But who am I to look a gift horse in the mouth? Now, let's see. Her number was,
Lancaster 7583, of course.
This is the most beautiful bar and grill I've ever seen, Archie.
Drank, you mean?
What?
Never mind.
All right. Archie, did anybody tell you you were beautiful, too?
Well, a girl here and there has mentioned it.
Oh, were they liars?
Nah. Tell me, Gene, how did you ever get into the gambling den racket?
Because I'm a crook.
Well, I suspected that, but...
I want another drink.
You've had enough.
I want another drink, and when Gene wants another drink, no gentleman who is a gentleman...
Gene, get down!
Oh, let me go. I don't want to climb under the table.
You'll stay under here until the barrage stops. I guess the war's over. All right, Gene, get up.
No, now I'm here. I like it. I'm going to stay here for months and months.
Gene, do you realize that somebody just tried to kill you?
And I thought you had such a nice, honest face.
No, 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 not me. Somebody out in the street. I don't know why, but Mr. Wolf will. Come on, pour yourself together and let's go see him.
The nice fat man? All right, I like him.
You do? Why?
Because he'd make such a big corpse.
Plus Jean.
What made you think I wanted her here?
She's one of your fans. She thinks you'd make a lovely corpse.
What was the reason for bringing her here?
She was shot at. Did you expect her to be?
I expected her to be killed. That's why I sent you to her.
It didn't occur to you I might be killed too?
It did. I was willing to take the chance.
You were willing? Oh, Mr. Wolf, Jean's a little under the weather.
Splendid. In vino veritas.
Watch your language.
I mean that people in their cups often tell the truth, a proverb of some antiquity. Who shot at you tonight, Jean?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see.
Has it occurred to you that you might just as easily have murdered Piper as not?
But Lucasto killed Piper. You said so yourself.
I lied. Furthermore, why the attack on you if Lucasto was the murderer?
Well, I don't know.
Did you also not know that Lucasto escaped from jail earlier this evening?
You're making that up.
Why should I? Mr. Denby turned him over to the police, but Lucasto managed to get away before being jailed.
That's not cricket.
Incidentally, Mr. Denby will be joining us at any moment. I expected you to bring Gene Archie. Therefore, with the exception of Mr. Piper, who is resting in the morgue, and Mr. Lucasto, who is at large, we shall have all the participants in the card game. With them, perhaps we can deal a new hand, Archie?
Okay. Maybe it's the morgue to tell us Piper escaped. Oh, wrong again. Come in, Mr. Denby.
Mr. Wolf, I'm upset. I heard over the radio about Lucasto's escape. He'll try to kill us all.
Why?
Well, because we can testify that he murdered Piper.
Truly.
I beg your pardon?
Lucasto did not kill Piper.
But you said that he did.
The only evidence against Lucasto was the angle of the entrance of the bullet that lodged in his heart. May I remind you of the whisper you all heard in the darkness preceding Piper's death?
The whisper that said Piper?
Precisely. We must assume, then, that Piper turned his body in the direction of the whisper. Therefore, the angle of the wound would be wrong for Lucasto, but the correct one for...
Whoever sat opposite Piper.
I sat opposite him, but that doesn't mean I killed him.
Wait, you must have. Once he turned, the bullet must have come from opposite him. Only possible way. That means you, Gene.
No. No, it's a frame.
May I interrupt for a moment? Mr. Denby, if our present analysis is correct, it must have been you who whispered to Piper. Did you?
I hadn't thought about it before, but...
Denby, you're lying.
No, he's not lying. Continue, Mr. Denby.
Well, when the lights went out, I wanted to tell Piper something. He turned to me, and that's when he was shot.
Archie, you've taken all this down.
In my prettiest shorthand, Mr. Wolf.
Good.
I don't know why you're doing this, Denby. Maybe you think if I take the rap, you'll get the club. But remember, Lucasto's still free. He's gunning for all of us. But it'll be you. Especially you, he'll want. Maybe you can talk a jury into sending me up for something I didn't do, but you won't live to gloat about it.
Oh, shut up, Jean. You killed Piper and...
Who's that?
This is, of course, the murderer of Mr. Piper. No comments? Archie, the door, if you please.
But you said I was the one who...
What kind of idiocy is this?
Archie, I said the door.
Okay, but shall I ask him in or sock him?
You will act as the situation demands.
Yes, sir. But for once, I'd like to know what the situation is.
Raise him, Goodwin, and keep him that way. Now back up into the living room.
I don't back up good. My gears...
You want it here?
Never mind, I'll strip a gear.
Archie, what are you doing?
Just what the situation demands, backing up. In case your knowledge of armaments has failed you, our little friend Chuck here is pointing a .38 revolver at me.
Won't save him from the chair.
Maybe not, but it could give me quite a pain in the stomach.
Chuck, what do you think you're doing?
You double-crossing louse.
Gentlemen, if you
so
please.
So you thought you'd run to the fat dick and pin it all on me, huh, Denby?
You don't know what you're talking about. We haven't even mentioned you.
You sure of that, huh? Then why did Wolf phone me and tell me you were about to sing?
Wolf phoned you?
Yeah. Said you were getting ready to feed me to the electrician up the river.
Oh, he was making a stab in the dark, Chuck, trying to start something.
That's so, Wolf?
Archie, will you read Chuck your notes about Mr. Denby's statement regarding the whisper?
Well, that doesn't mean it could be misunderstood.
Read me the notes, Goodwin.
Here it is, I quote. When the lights went out, I wanted to tell Piper something. He turned to
me
and...
That's all I need to hear.
Chuck,
you were selling me out after hiring me to knock off Piper.
You dumb gunman. Now you've given Wolf what he wants, a confession. I was trying to pin it on Gene.
That's what you say now. It's kind of late, though. Too late for you.
No. Oh.
Goodbye, Mr. Denby. Nice shooting, Chuck.
Stay put, Goodwin. The rest of you, I'm leaving.
The police wouldn't approve. But let me have your gun.
Huh? Wise guy. You know something? I've been thinking.
Can you think?
If I was to knock off you and Goodwin, me and Gene could split the club between us and nobody'd ever know who killed Piper.
Very whimsical, Chuck, but if you don't mind...
Archie, don't be an idiot.
Well, if I had to get shot, I prefer it to happen when I'm moving forward.
Archie.
Okay, come and get it, Goodwin. March right up nice and easy and take it.
I'm coming. Would somebody mind telling me why I don't fall down?
Fool.
I've been shot. Well, that's not the way to talk to a man who's just been... Hey, Chuck is lying down. He...
Is he dead?
Well, there's been a mistake. I didn't shoot him. He shot me.
Archie, stop blabbering. Neither of you shot the other. As a matter of fact...
I shot the Chuck.
Lucasto.
Lucasto, Archie?
Well, I thought he escaped.
No, I'm no crazy. I do not escape. The fat one, he phones the police to tell them how I'm innocent.
Yes, I had the police announce the escape, however, for reasons of, shall I say, strategy?
Well, on account of there are no bullet holes in me, you can say whatever you like, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Archie. That announcement helped heighten the tension our murderers were under.
And then they explode. The fat one, he says to me, Locasto, wait in the next room. Watch careful. Maybe there's trouble. I watch. And now? Now there's no more trouble.
Place looks a lot tidier now with all those bodies removed, huh?
Indeed. Archie,
I'll get you the bottle of beer. But first, make with an explanation. The
case was crystal clear, Archie.
Maybe, but I'm no crystal gazer. Sure, I know. Denby had things arranged in advance with Chuck in case anybody held a better hand than his own. Piper did. So Denby whispered to Piper after kicking the light switch and set him up for a shot by Chuck from the doorway. The angle would provide evidence against Lucasto.
True. However, we had only Denby's word for it and Chuck's that the door was locked.
All right. We know, but you knew before Denby and Chuck blew up, how?
The oil spots on the rug, Archie?
Well, they only showed the gun had bounced when the murderer threw it away. Spattered oil, very well-kept gun.
They showed more than that. Where were those spots in relation to the gun? Think back, Archie.
Spots in relation... Oh, sure. They were between the gun and the door.
Therefore, the gun must have been thrown from the door. Bounced twice, staining the rug before reaching its final destination.
Oh, I get it now. That told you who'd fired the gun. But there wasn't proof enough, so you set up a nice atmosphere of suspicion and had the boys give each other away. All right, Mr. Wolf, you're a genius, and you may have your beer.
Thank you, Archie.
As for me, I'm not a genius, but I remember a phone number. So if you'll excuse me, Mr. Wolf.
You're excused, Archie.
Thanks.
But before you call that number, may I remind you that Jean is a girl of macabre tastes who appeals to the ghoul in you.
Sure you may, but why bother?
In order to be able to warn you that a ghoul and his money are soon parted. Good night, Archie.
Ah.
have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program. In the cast were Gerald Moore as Archie Goodwin, and Betty Lou Gerson, Jay Novello, Howard McNear, Barney Phillips, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Calculated Risk. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
All right, that's The Adventures of Nero Wolfe, January 12th, 1951, with the Killer Cards, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Also in that cast, Gerald Moore, who played Philip Marlowe on the radio, William Johnstone, who was Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, also Howard McNear, Barney Phillips, Betty Lou Gerson. Great cast on that NBC Radio Network production of Nero Wolfe. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, don't forget, next week we are going to have a little tribute to Jerry Lewis. We lost him last week, and on that particular Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show, their special guest is Debbie Reynolds. Of course, we lost her this year as well, so it'll be a double memoriam for both of them on our show next week. We're going to not play Fibber, McGee, and Molly, originally scheduled for next week, and instead we'll have the Martin and Lewis show and then our regular lineup. Tonight, when Lisa and I come back here at 11 p.m., what do we have? We have female detectives, right, Lisa?
Oh, we sure do. We've got Philco Mysteries.
Yeah. She was a female.
Yep, Candy
Matson. Phyllis, her name was Phyllis.
Yep, yeah. Candy Matson.
Mm-hmm.
And Murder Clinic.
Yeah, that particular episode of Murder Clinic is about a female detective. Yep. So we'll have that
for you. So we are
for you.
All about women power tonight.
I should have played a Meet Miss Sherlock, because there was a Miss Sherlock detective series, and I have some of those. Not sure why I didn't. I don't know. You know?
All right, well, we've got good stuff. So.
I'm not perfect, even though I try my best.
Even though you
what?
Think you are.
What did he say?
He thinks he is.
Not Mark perfect. The tape.
Not perfect, Roger.
I know.
Hey, you know what else we're going to do tonight when we come back here? It is a chance for you to guess Lisa, mine, and Roger's favorite song from 1974. You know, I had a 1974 Corvette.
No, you
years
didn't.
Ago. Yes, I did. I had I totaled it, but I had a 19. That's a true story. I had a 19, and you know what? You know what happened? This is a true story. I had just gotten this car, right?
Oh no!
And I was cast. I was an actor at the time, mm-hmm. and I was cast in the movie Class with a bunch of great actors.
I remember that movie.
I had a part. I won a part in that movie. And it was the first day filming. It was kind of far away at a school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in a car accident on my way to shooting that film.
God.
Yeah. And I rolled it. I mean, I don't remember what happened, but it was not a pretty picture. There was fiberglass everywhere. But I loved that car.
Well,
1974.
You know that car saved you because
you
were fine and the car
was fine.
Wasn't. So.
I remember having a sort of a bruise across my chest from the seatbelt. Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah, but you can laugh about it now. But I had a 1974 Corvette. It was had the T tops. It was silver with light brown interior. I'll never forget that car.
67 Corvette is my dream car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, keep working, Roger.
How old am I now?
When you grow up one day.
Yeah, right.
So, 1974 is the year you'll be able to win some Twilight Zone CDs. We'll kick off the contest at 11:05 p.m. tonight. So in 23 hours, is that right? Am I doing that right? No, 25 hours from now. 25 hours from now.
That's right.
Wait, no. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
So 22 hours.
22 hours, yeah.
The other way.
My math is not that good. All right, so we will do that, and make sure you take a look at, you could look at the top 100 songs from 1974 and then try to piece Lisa's together, mine and Roger's, right?
Right, yeah. We're excited.
Okay. Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
Welcome back to Hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. It is 8 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning, Lisa. And you know what?
What?
We still have almost an hour of classic radio.
You are
right. And in
right.
this hour, we have Casey, crime photographer from 1948, because we have all male detectives on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Tomorrow, or actually tonight when we come back, all female detectives. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series 911 about 911 operators and the calls that come through the emergency telephone number.
Wow, really?
Yes, really.
911.
Yes.
Is that what you do? You just dial 911?
Yes, I haven't done that.
Well, people with old phones dial. Most people just press the button.
I was going to say, yeah.
You just press the button.
My phone.
No, you know what you say?
What?
Dial 911.
That's right. You don't even touch anything.
I don't want to say it, but yeah. Anybody. You know, we've got these machines that just do it for you.
Right.
Carl doesn't, but I do. We've got one in every room. My husband went crazy.
Oh, really? With the Alexa thing?
I was not going to say it because everybody says when I say that, there's
okay,
go light
won't
up.
Say it.
But we've got him all over the house.
Really?
I don't know what his thing is. He's crazy.
He's obsessed with Alexa.
He's obsessed with her. We needed another woman.
Well,
in
it's
the
better
house.
Than a human Alexa to be
right.
obsessed with, right?
So it works for me.
Works a lot better for you. All right, so what do they win?
They're going to win a gift certificate for a half dozen Mi Rai sweet corn from Twin Garden Farms.
Some sweet corn.
Yes.
Wow. Roger,
it's
that
the
sounds
best
good.
Corn out there.
I like Mi Rai sweet corn.
Wow. All right. Sweet corn.
You yeah. get it at yeah. Twin Garden Farms or a farmer's market.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of Waiting to Exhale.
No, Bernadine, you can't start the catering business this year. Why don't you wait a few years, huh?
All right. She's having a little bit of a meltdown there.
Really?
I just had a little meltdown. She needs to call 9.
Yeah, or she needs a little therapy session.
All right, who is that actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
No, Bernadine, you can't start the catering business this year. Why don't you wait a few years, huh?
And we've got Warren on the line. Hey, Warren.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you.
Are you hungry? You want some sweet corn?
I almost bought some today, but I didn't.
Well,
oh,
see?
I'm so glad.
Worked out perfectly.
Because we're going to give you a gift certificate for a half dozen Mi Rai sweet corn from Twin Garden Farms. It's the best sweet corn out there with its extraordinary sweetness, flavor, and tenderness. Pick up a green mesh bag today at Twin Garden Farms or a farmer's market near you. You can find location at twingardenfarms.com. But you, Warren, have won. So congratulations.
He hasn't said it yet.
Oh, my gosh.
He say what it is.
Well, Shantae told me that you knew.
Answer, huh?
So who's
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Thank you. You are absolutely
no
right.
All right. What'd you think? He was eating the corn and he couldn't talk?
Well, I knew that he had the right answer. Oh, you're so funny, Carl.
Oh, boy. Warren, enjoy
Warren.
That corn, my friend, because I'm kind of corny myself.
I didn't notice that.
There you go.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Take
Thanks
care.
For listening to the show.
Look what I have to put up with it for another hour. Oh, my gosh.
You can do it. You've done 209 shows.
I know.
I think you can handle
right.
me for another hour. All right, time for Casey, crime photographer. And Casey was a newspaper cameraman who took crime scene photos, but his keen eye for detail served him well in solving the crimes he was assigned to photograph. And while waiting for his next assignment, he killed time with his gal pal Ann Williams at the Blue Note Cafe, run by Ethelbert, the bartender. This series came to radio in 1943. You know who was the first Casey crime photographer, Lisa?
I don't.
Jim Backus. Do you know that name?
Yeah.
Thurston Howell the Third.
Yes.
Yeah. He did a lot of radio, Thurston Howell
the
Third. Jim Backus. And I think he was, I'm pretty sure he was Mr. Magoo, too. On,
yep.
Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, I think he was the voice of Mr. Magoo. Stotts Cotsworth played Casey the longest. He played the character all the way to 1955. We have a radio broadcast for you now called The Ex-Convict. Let's go back to January 22nd, 1948. Here's part one of Casey, Crime Photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hi, Ethelbert. What are you reading?
Kind of information test in the paper. It says, what do these four names stand for? John L. Sullivan, John J. McGraw, Todd Sloan, Barney Oldfield.
Easy. Boxing, baseball, racing, auto racing.
Say, you got them fast.
Yeah, it's a cinch. They're among the most famous names in their line. Everybody knows those names.
Why, certainly. Like everyone knows that Anchor Hawking is the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Ex-Convict. Morning, a highway leading from the city to its suburbs. At an intersection stands a hitchhiker dressed in new but strangely ill-fitting clothes. A battered-looking car slows down, and as it does so...
Hop in, bud. Thanks. Where are you heading for?
Martindale.
Ah, oh, you're in luck. Passing right through there.
That's swell, mister.
Casey's the name.
Mine's Holden.
Where are you going in Martindale?
Brinsley Road.
The Maddox Estates?
How'd you know?
I just guess. How long you been out?
Out?
Of the big house.
Now, look here, if you're going to be...
Wait a minute, don't get sore.
You a cop?
The sign on the windshield tells you my racket.
Press.
Mm-hmm.
One of them wise guy reporters.
No. Just a dumb photographer.
You remember my case? You took pictures of me when I was wrapped.
Oh? Never saw you before. When a guy wearing a prison-issue suit is heading for Asa Maddox's place, it's easy to figure. The next con can't get an honest job anywhere else. He's always sent old man Maddox. What were you in for, bud?
Armed robbery.
First conviction?
Yeah. 5 years. I had it come to me, though.
Oh, you feel that way about it?
Yeah. I'm not going to have it come to me again.
What'd you say your name was, pal?
Holden. Ben Holden.
Well, who sent you to Maddox, Ben? Welfare Foundation?
Yeah. I guess this Maddox is a pretty swell guy.
You bet. Ace is from what I hear. I never met him, though. He's given a lot of ex-con guys that have been in jams and fresh starts. Most of them are made good, some in a big way.
At the foundation, they said a couple of rats had crossed him plenty.
That's right. There were two cases during the past year.
Guys he'd help went out and pulled jobs while they were living on his estate.
That's right.
Nice characters.
Yeah, I think so, too.
What do you know about it? You never come out of stir without a friend. Finally, to have a decent guy offer you a break. Anyone who rats on a decent guy like that should have his heart cut out.
No, I'd say you meant that. Ben, I think Mr. Maddox is hiring a pretty good boy. Photography department, Casey speaking.
City desk, Casey.
Yeah, Burke, yeah.
Report just came in of a payroll holdup at the Hannigan Mills.
Huh?
$30,000 taken by a lone bandit.
Hey, that's a nice haul. You want me to get out to the Hannigan Mills plant, of course?
No, no, beat it down to headquarters. The paymaster, whose name is Whalen, has been taken down to headquarters to go over pictures in the criminal files. And if he makes an identification, I'll...
Casey, here's that picture the paymaster identified. It's Ben Holden.
Ben Holden?
Discharged from Wolstick Prison a month ago. I put out his description to all radio cars and precinct stations. We'll soon pick him up.
Ben Holden.
Calling all cars, all precinct stations.
Discontinue search for Hannigan Mills robber Ben Holden. Discontinue search for Ben Holden. He has just been identified as hit-and-run victim of unknown car. Ben Holden is dead.
Hey, Joe, them guests at the end of the bar want three more bottles of beer. Now, getting back to where we was, Casey. Where'd they find this stick-up guy, Holden?
On Beechnut Road, Edward.
A car had run over his chest and kept on going.
Gee, this morning he lifts 30,000 bucks at the point of a gun, and this afternoon he's in the morgue. That's justice the way she ought to be.
I'm not so sure of that.
Why?
Well, Casey gave this Holden a lift in his car about 3 weeks ago and convinced himself that Holden was a reformed character.
And that kid was on the level when he talked to me. I can't see him doing
it. He's been positively identified. And the $100 bills found in his body had the serial numbers of bills noted by the bank that made up the payroll.
But the total wad found on Holden's body amounted to less than 600 bucks, Annie. Now, what happened to the balance of that 30 grand?
Well, he hid it somewhere, of course.
He had plenty of time after the robbery, Casey.
Sure, there was time enough.
Well?
Annie, two other ex-cons who got a break from Maddox have gone sour during the past year.
And how? And if Maddox is smart, he'll give criminal reform up as a bad job.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Those two other ex-cons weren't captured alive either. Both of them were found dead, just like Ben Holden.
Well, so what? One was shot by the cops when he tried to get away, and the other committed suicide when it looked like he was going to be captured.
Very little of the dough that those guys stole was found on their bodies.
Well, they...
Sure. They'd hidden it somewhere, just like Holden.
Yeah, it is a little funny.
Say it is, so to speak, Casey. It's a peculiar coincidence.
Yeah. Say, Annie, let's you and me go down to Homicide Bureau and have a talk with Logan. I got a hunch.
Casey, I'm afraid I'm buying this hunch of yours.
Well, that's something from you, Logan.
You mean, Captain, that you don't think Ben Holden committed that payroll robbery either?
On the evidence, he must have committed it, Miss Williams. I want to know why. I've looked up Holden's record. He was a model prisoner. The prison authorities were very favorably impressed with his good intentions when he was discharged. Now, what made him go sour?
Yeah, that's what's got me going down. You looked up the records of the other two guys who went sour after they got a break from Maddox?
Oh, not yet. Have you?
Uh-huh, yeah. Paper, they seem pretty good Joes, until after they got a job for Maddox.
Now, Casey, you're not implying that A's a Maddox.
I'm merely implying there's been a three-time coincidence, Annie.
But Mr. Maddox is, well, he's a first citizen. He's helped hundreds of ex-convicts who've made good.
The coincidence still remains, Miss Williams. Three of his proteges have gone bad. They were killed, and only a small fraction of their holdup loot was recovered. Now, maybe that's merely a coincidence, but... Well, I'm going to plant an undercover man in Maddox's place.
All right, what are your... Headquarters, Dix?
Who else?
Oh, Logan, wait a minute. He wouldn't get to first base. Outside of Maddox himself, every guy in that big estate is an ex-con. Those babies recognize cops like you do.
Well, naturally detail the guy who is unknown to anyone there.
They'll get wise to him.
Of course, you have a better idea than mine.
Sure. Let me be the undercover guy.
You?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, Casey, you'd never get away with it either.
Maddox doesn't know me. I've never run into any of his present staff of ex-cons. I know a lot about the inside of prison. Remember, I once took a phony rap in order to get the goods on a certain guy.
And in order to get an exclusive for your lousy paper. But of course, you're not thinking of anything like that now.
I certainly not. I offer my services purely and nobly in the cause of justice.
Yeah, nuts.
Of course, if I do get an exclusive, the Express gives me a raise for getting it. Well, look, you want to see me get along, don't you, pal?
Yeah, but I'm not saying where to.
Oh, come on. Break down, tough guy. Give me a go-ahead.
Well, because of your talent for being lucky, compensates your shortage of intelligence. Okay.
Thanks, and not only for your kind words.
You're going to Maddox as an ex-convict, Casey?
Why, sure.
You'll have to appear as recently discharged from an out-of-state prison, one that none of the real ex-cons at Maddox's place have been in.
Sure, we'll check up on their records.
And we'll make a very thorough checkup. Also, when we pick your prison alma mater... We'll be well coached on what goes on there.
Well, I learn quickly.
Well, the only men Maddox helps are those sent to him with recommendations by the Welfare Foundation. Will they cooperate with you, Captain?
100%, Miss Williams.
It'll take only a short time to work the bugs out of our scheme.
Then I'll start for Mr. Asa Maddox's place. Morning. I'd like to see Mr. Maddox.
Who are you?
Who are you?
My name is Eagles, punk. Mr. Maddox's butler.
Yeah? But all butlers had English accents.
So you got your education from the movies.
Tough guy, huh?
No, at least not anymore. If you are, punk, you come to the wrong joint. What's your name?
Stacy.
Huh?
Dan Stacy, Foundation Center.
Well, why didn't you say so right away? Come on in, Stacy. The boss is expecting you.
Oh, thanks, Mr.
Eagles. Plain Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah, just get out of the Stillwater pen, huh?
Yeah.
I'm a graduate of Dannemora.
Yeah, that's a real tough one, I hear.
It softened me up. That ain't happened to you. You don't belong here.
No?
No. Mr. Maddox is a grand guy. He's going to give you a job here. Oh, he's had some disappointments lately. Three of them. If you show signs of being a disappointment, pal, you're going to wish you never left Stillwater.
Well, that's the way it is, huh?
That's the way it is. Not only with me, but there's a few other ex-cons here who feel the same. Go on, Stacy. I'll take you to Mr. Maddox.
All right, there's the first portion of Casey, Crime Photographer, from January 22nd, 1948, with The Ex-Convict, starring Stotts Cotsworth. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf. Yeah, we're working on 1975 for next week. Roger and
Roger,
I and Lisa.
Roger, we've already made our choices.
No, you come on now.
We
stop
did.
That. No, we have not. We have not made our choices.
She just likes teasing
yet.
Me because I'm having such a hard time.
Now, here's how it works, folks, because we've already had people texting in
Can't
for
do it.
Tonight.
Yeah.
It's the contest starts at 11.05 p.m. tonight, so like in 20 hours or so. So if you have an idea what you think Roger's favorite song from 1974 is, mine and Lisa's, you can win some Twilight Zone CDs. So check it out. Go online and type in 1974 songs. You'll get a list of songs. And then we've all chosen different songs. Right, Lisa?
We are different people with different opinions.
You're different.
We're very different.
You're different, all right.
We're different.
And so we'll have that tonight. And then We're always working a week in advance, so Roger and I and Lisa are looking at 1975 trying
no
to figure it out.
No matter what song I pick, Carl doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Well.
We were just in the green room, and she's like going through all the songs, and she picked a song. I'm like, please don't pick.
You see, he's very controlling.
The way you said that to her? Why don't you pick whatever she wants?
That's what I said. He's very controlling.
It's like, a free country.
I'm like, please don't pick that song, Lisa.
Why? Because it's got a two-minute-long intro?
No, it has, like, bad memories for me.
Aww.
It's, you know, it's like the girl that I gave my horn to.
Oh, mm-hmm. No. He's very sensitive.
Yeah. And it just makes me think about it.
He's quite sensitive.
It reminds me of when I gave that horn away and I never got it back. She never even
kissed me. Pander to him.
She never even kissed me.
Yeah.
Why would she?
She got your horn. What the heck?
No need to go any further than that, right?
I don't blame her at all.
She got exactly what she wanted. She was out of there, and I've never seen her since.
I get that.
Okay. What?
I said I get it.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break for news. When we come back, it's the conclusion to Casey, Crime Photographer. If you're out there, I want my horn back, and you know who you are.
He
I want my Italian
that
horn.
Week after week.
We are tuning in to Casey, Crime Photographer. Let's go back to January 28th, 1948, for the conclusion now to Ex-Convict.
The Welfare Foundation has recommended you very highly, Mr. Stacy, so I'm putting you to work here.
Thanks, Mr. Maddox.
Your job will be a small one at first, but you'll find every opportunity for advancement.
I hope I can make good, sir.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
You know the swell start I made. I'm just out of prison.
I might have been in prison had I not been lucky, Mr. Stacy. The difference between you and me has been only a matter of circumstance.
That's the way you figure.
Yes. Let's see. I made a pencil note of the employment I meant to give you. Dear, I'm so absent-minded. What did I do with it? Shirley, Shirley.
yet, Mr. Maddox?
What did I do with that note I made about... please excuse me. Miss Reed, allow me to present Mr. Stacy.
Reed?
Mr. Stacy.
Miss Reed is my private secretary. Also, she's the daughter of an old and very dear friend of mine. Shirley, where is
that... Here it is, Mr. Maddox. Mr. Stacy is to work in the garage as assistant to Butch Franzen.
Oh, yes, yes. Butch Franzen is my chief chauffeur, Mr. Stacy. Shirley, will you take my new friend Stacy to my old friend Butch and introduce them?
Gladly, Mr. Maddox. Will you come with me, Mr. Stacy?
Gladly, Miss Reed. Maddox, it's been a privilege to meet you.
Well, mine is the privilege, my boy. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Quite a guy.
Yes, all of us here think so. You're from Stillwater, Mr. Stacy.
Yeah, Minnesota.
They treat you well out there?
Not too bad.
My father died in Joliet.
Yeah?
Mr. Maddox is only our kind around him.
Hey, you have...
No, I've never been in prison.
I didn't think so. Not with that face.
You're pretty direct.
Why not?
I haven't an answer to that one. You did your stretch for armed robbery.
Yeah, that's right.
Get much?
$20 in 5 years.
Sucker, weren't you?
And how?
Going to be one again?
No.
Just stick to that. You'll be okay. You won't like washing and greasing cars under Butch Franzen. He's tough.
Oh, I worked with tough guys before.
I can soften him up for you.
I think you could soften almost anyone up, Blondie.
Including yourself?
Go to work on me, see?
Thanks. But Mr. Maddox keeps me pretty busy.
When you have a little time to spare, look me up.
Maybe I will.
Hey, Stacy.
Yeah, here I am, Butch.
Driving the boss into town. While I'm gone, wash and polish the station wagon. And I mean wash and polish.
Okay.
Blue convertible needs a clean-up job, too.
I'll take care of it.
Get right at it. So long.
So long.
Hi, Butch.
Oh, hello, Eagles.
The Maddox is ready for his car.
All right, I'm taking it to him right now.
Hi, Stacy.
Oh, hi, Eccles. Don't see much of you back here in the garage.
Yeah, I always get plenty to do at the house. How you like these here, Stacy?
Well.
Yeah, what you like best is the boss's secretary, ain't it?
What do you mean?
You and Shirley Reed have been seeing quite a bit of each other.
Any rule here says we shouldn't?
No, no, there ain't no rule, but... You can't afford a babe like Shirley in what you're making here.
So what?
So three other guys who fell for her went out and pulled jobs that landed them on morgue slabs. This is a friendly tip, chum. Watch your step.
Thanks.
Hey, Stacy, when you was at Stillwater, did you meet up with a guy named Ross Taylor?
What? No.
Well, it's a big pan. I guess there were a lot of guys that you didn't meet.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Shirley told you about Ben Holden? Guy we had here who pulled that payroll stick up?
Everybody's here. Everybody's told me about him except Mr. Maddox.
You know, Shirley had a little hard luck the day Holden pulled that job and then got accidentally killed. She drove home with a dented front fender.
Dented front fender?
Yeah, she'd run into something with that sporty roadster of hers. A post, she said. Butch fixed the fender for her so it looks like new again. Well, I got to be getting back to the house. I got a lot of work to do this afternoon. So long.
Yes, so long.
Oh, Stacy, it's funny you didn't meet up with Ross Taylor out at Stillwater. He's the prison doctor. So long again.
Casey, you think the butler Eggles is wise to him?
He practically told me he is, Logan. At the same time, he tipped me off about the dented fender. I got outside of this pay station as soon as I could to pass you on the word.
You figure Eggles is playing on our side?
He's playing Maddox's side. Eggles obviously believes that Shirley Reed's car was a hit and run that killed Holden. But she's the works behind those three stick-ups. I think Holden and those other guys, those other two guys, fell for this babe so hard that they were willing to do anything she suggested.
Now you think that guy, Butch Franzen's in the deal with her?
Well, there's an understanding of some sort between her and Butch, Logan. And he fixed that dented fender, don't forget.
Ah. Well, play the two of them along, pal, but watch your step.
Yeah, I'm doing that little thing every minute.
And when or if you get a suggestion from her about a stick-up, get in touch with me right away. We'll throw a little surprise party.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get back to the garage now. Polish a couple of cars.
That I'd love to see.
I'll bet you would.
Now, remember, you asked for this job, and it can't be too tough. It's never hard to play romantic with a glamorous blonde, even though you think she's loaded with trouble.
Logan, look, have you told Annie Williams about everything?
I've had two. You know how interested she is in what you're doing. She's especially interested in the blonde angle, pal.
Play that blonde angle down, will you, pal? Way down.
Morning, Stacy.
Well, Shirley, it's an unexpected pleasure. I hope to see you before evening.
You wouldn't have if Mr. Maddox hadn't phoned from town a little while ago. He wants you to do an errand for him.
Okay.
You're to go to this address and pick up a package of jewelry he's ordered for his niece.
What does he want me to pick up jewelry for?
Well, it's his way of showing his trust in you.
I see.
I'm driving into town, Stacy. I'll take you to the place if you like.
I never miss a chance of being with you.
This trip will be strictly for business purposes, big boy.
Oh, just like that?
Definitely. Now get my car out and let's go.
Well, I have to tell Butch I'm going.
Oh, he already knows. He was in the house when I got Mr. Maddox's message.
Well, then I'll pull out the car. That's a snappy little bus, this sport roadster of yours.
It's getting pretty old. It's a 39.
Looks like it just came out of the factory. Guess you never had any accidents with it.
Oh, I've dented a couple of fenders, that's all.
Recently?
No, not for over a year.
You're lucky. Get in. You want to drive or shall I?
I will. I like to drive men. I'll park in front of the side door of the building, Stacy, here. Now, the man you're to see, Mr. LeBlanc, is a wholesale diamond merchant. His offices are on the second floor.
I see.
Mr. Maddox left this sealed envelope with Eggles before I came to work this morning and absentmindedly forgot to tell me anything about it. Here, it's addressed to Mr. LeBlanc, and I imagine it's to identify you, so you'll be given the package.
Just send the note in to LeBlanc, huh?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, Shirley, a gal like you ought to have some nice jewelry.
When I get it, it's going to be bought and paid for by a man whom I'm certain isn't a crook.
You mean that?
What do you think?
Babe, I wish I knew.
Come on now. Get up to Mr. LeBlanc and hurry back with that package.
Yeah, okay.
Second floor, remember. And hurry.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I wish I knew. Mr. Blank, Mr. Maddox sent me.
Close the door, Stacy. I'll get the package for you.
Okay.
It's in my safe. Just one moment while I open it.
Hmm? Right.
I suppose you're one of Mr. Maddox's ex-convicts since he doesn't hire anyone else.
Yeah. Taking a big chance opening that safe when you're alone with an ex-con, aren't you?
I have a burglar alarm. Here is the package.
Would you want me to sign for it?
Well, that's unnecessary. I have Mr. Maddox's note, which amounts to a receipt.
See.
Good day, Stace.
So long, Mr. LeBlanc.
Oh, Stacy.
Eggles, what are you doing here?
Here to keep you out of trouble, bud. Come on down these stairs and hurry.
What trouble?
Shirley brought you here, didn't she? She's waiting for you outside.
Yes.
Already tipped you that she's trouble.
But I don't see what...
You will very soon. Come on, pile into a car there. I'm joining you.
Eggles?
Yeah, I'm giving a surprise party, Shirley. Start this bus and then step on the gas.
Well, why
do like I say. Like this gun says.
Eggles.
Keep your shirt on, Stacy. You know whose side I'm on.
Yes,
start the car, Toots, and get moving.
All right.
Turn right at the next corner, then head for River Road.
I'd like an explanation of this.
Yeah, I can stand one, too.
Listen, there's your explanation.
What? It's a burglar alarm.
From the building we just left.
Yeah, it's in LeBlanc's place. He just set it going.
Why?
Because you just robbed him, Stacy.
What? I...
That's what he's gonna say. Hand over that package he gave you, mister.
I'm beginning to get this setup.
I thought you would.
I don't get it.
You're not smart, Shirley. Give me that package, Stacy.
A gun of yours doesn't give me much choice. All right, here. How much is in it?
$100,000. In unset diamonds, that'll be very hard to trace.
LeBlanc collects the insurance on them, and you and he split the diamonds, too.
That's the play.
You had the same deal with the paymaster who accused Holden of robbing him, and with the other holdup victims.
Holden's seen going into that paymaster's office. Then he goes out with a package he's been given for Mr. Maddox. I meet him and take him away. Nobody but me and the paymaster know that Holden's been tricked into going there on a fake errand. It's like I tricked you into giving Stacy a phony letter to LeBlanc, Shirley, that I said was from the boss who just phoned me.
Oh. Holden never had a chance to explain what really happened because you made him meet with an accident, Ames.
That's right. Swell little scheme, huh, wise guy?
Well, it was until this LeBlanc job. Now you slipped up plenty.
Yeah, how?
Because I haven't got a record. I've never been a con.
You haven't?
No. The cops aren't going to believe that I robbed LeBlanc, Eccles.
Hey, you're not so bright either, gumshoe. Why do you think I made you suspect Shirley here?
Suspect me?
He had you figured as a very bad doll, Toots. So, of course, he reported the hints I dropped about you to the cops. They'll think he stuck up LeBlanc at your suggestion. You try to rub him out. Then when they find both you and him dead, Shirley, they'll think you knocked each other off. After you'd managed to hide these diamonds.
You've done a pretty good job of figuring, Eggles. But you shouldn't have made me believe that this car of Shirley's had been used in connection with the holdups and murders.
Yeah, what's that got to do with...
This is a gun you feel at the back of your neck, Eggles.
What's going on?
You get him, I'll blow your head off.
Okay, don't shoot.
I got his gun, Lieutenant.
Good.
All right, stop the car, Shirley.
I am.
So you got a cop hiding in a rumble seat.
Yeah, that's right. He heard everything you said.
Which is more than enough to burn you three times, Eggles.
Thought if I was invited to go places in this car, I'd be more comfortable with a cop back there. So several good guys have been taking turns.
You thought I was behind those holdups and murders. You thought I was a traitor to Mr. Maddox, who's treated me like a daughter.
Well, anybody can make mistakes.
No! Get out of this car!
We want you to drive us and our prisoner to headquarters, miss.
I'll drive you and your prisoner, Lieutenant. But this person, this Stacy, he's going to get out and walk.
So you had a nice long walk, Casey, huh?
Sure did. I couldn't get a cab, Ethelbert. There was a strike on the bus lines. My feet were darn near frozen by the time I got the express over.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you, Casey.
Well...
And not only because of your poor, tired feet. Beautiful, glamorous Shirley says she'll never speak to you again.
Look, Annie... You know very well that my only interest in that gal was...
Of course. You were merely trying to solve a crime and to get an exclusive for the paper.
Why, of course.
But you had a nice, cozy time investigating that blonde and getting the wrong answers.
Blondes.
Wow.
I don't know what there is about them.
I do.
What?
You silly men.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Deeds and is based on the fictional character of Casey, created by George Harmon Cox. Original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there is Casey, crime photographer, January 22nd, 1948, with the ex-convict, starring Stotts Cotsworth, along with Jan, you're soaking in it, Minor, right?
Yes.
Remember Madge?
Of course.
You're soaking in it.
That was some, yeah. For some reason, that commercial just is iconic.
I know. She did a lot of radio, Jan Minor. She was a New York actress, and then she became Madge for, I don't know, a decade on television.
She became so well known.
Yeah, very good.